Hydra Shampoo Divas. I'm Erin, and we are back at you with another episode focusing on our goals. So we are so excited to help you tackle some of your biggest goals for this year. And one of the things we hear most frequently for sure is a goal to be more money-minded. Jessica, have you heard people talk about this goal at all?
I know I've heard a lot of people talk about like paying down debt, putting towards this, you know, saving for that. So I think this one is a perfect, awesome episode to throw in the goal selection of January.
Perfect. Well, before I jump in, I just wanted to point something out and maybe address a common misconception in relationships. And that is that finances are typically managed as a couple. You know, me personally, I always thought that this was something a couple would sit down and do together. You know, they'd sit down and work on bills and paying things and all of that together. But when I was attending a financial course about 5 years ago, the instructor stated that most couples have one party that naturally takes the lead on finances. And even with two married accountants who love nothing more than looking over numbers, typically somebody still takes the lead and the other will just kind of fall into that backseat role. So I just want to say, find whatever works for you. But if you were kind of under the misconception that like, we're the only couple that's not sitting down and doing this together, that's probably not the case. Most couples, I think one person or the other takes the role. And whether you're the driver or whether you're cruising in the back seat, there should definitely be some level of involvement from both parties. It's kind of interesting because in my work, working at a law firm, we're often dealing with a husband or a wife that comes in, and as we try to gather financial information, sometimes these parties don't have that information. And I'm not just talking like they don't know their investment rate or things like that. I'm talking they don't know how much their spouse makes. They don't know what bills they have. They don't know where they have bank accounts. And that's a little bit scary. And so even if you are that person in the back seat, I just want to say it's very important that you still have an awareness of your finances for your family. Not even just for an involvement standpoint, but I mean, if you think about it, if your significant other ended up in a car accident and in a coma, would you know what to pay for the next 30 days? Would you know where to access the money? Would you know how to get all of that stuff? And if the answer to that is no, you may want to sit down and get a little more involved than you currently are. I just really feel strongly that both parties in a relationship have a right and also a responsibility to have an awareness of their finances. So, Jessica, tell me which role you fall in. Are you the driver or are you the passenger?
You know, when Sam and I first got married, I worked a lot with banking. And so I was the driver. And, you know, I was right there. It was easy. But we always talked about, like, you know, what bills go where, what our account numbers are, things like that. And as I've been home with the kids and whatnot, and things have become a lot more app friendly. I love how I was like, back in the olden days. But that's just something that my husband has just kind of naturally flowed into. I'll like focus on the kids and he'll be like, hey, most bills are set up automatically rather than like writing a check every month. So he's like paid, right. paid. But he communicates me when these bills have been paid. I get emails of like, here's your receipt for everything. And so even though I'm no longer, I feel like the driver of it, we do know what things go where. We both have the same goals in mind, but yeah, I don't mind the backseat occasionally. How about that's yourself? Great.
I think that's wonderful. I am the driver. I have been the driver for like over a decade.
I could totally see which that.
I love. Like I have no problem with that at all. And Justin loves cruising in the backseat. So yeah, Justin, I would say probably isn't quite as involved as you are. We talk about bills, I would say at least once a month. He pays anything medically related because our HSA card is a pain in the butt
really?
To check the balance
on.
I
love mine.
It drives me crazy. And so I cannot deal with that headache. So he pays anything medical and then I pay everything else. But that being said, yeah, kind of like you talked about, we have similar goals that we're kind of working towards. If there's like bigger things, we always sit down and talk about it. And then he does know where I track everything. I have like a spreadsheet that I keep everything in. So if I was ever in a coma, we're set.
Yeah.
So
there you go. Very detailed oriented. Put in one of your binders of like, just in case Aaron's in a coma, shink, exactly. Pull that binder out.
So I not to like start off ranting about that. It's so important to me that both parties in a relationship at least one are aware of like where to locate everything and kind of what they have. Mm-hmm. But two, I think it's so important that, like you mentioned, both parties get to be a part of that goal setting and working towards that and all of that. So if that's not the case in your relationship, I would maybe just sit down and talk that through and maybe reevaluate things. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, now that I'm done with that little rant, let's talk goals. This was kind of a hard thing to tackle. I knew I wanted to do an episode on financials, but it is hard because like Jessica mentioned, we all have kind of different goals when it comes to finances. You know, some people want to pay down debt. Some people want to try to start preparing for retirement. Some people want to set up an emergency savings. Some people want to save up for a vacation or a car or a home. And so the tips I'm going to try to give you today are, like Jessica mentioned about her episode, they're a little more broad, but hopefully I'll at least give you enough feedback. It will make your money goals a little more successful. So
I like cha-ching. That.
Cha-ching. Let's jump in. Okay, so my first tip is ditch the debt. Obviously, debt that is weighing you down isn't going to help you accomplish any goal that you have. So definitely come up with a plan of attack for downsizing your debt. Bottom line, there's a lot of great resources out there. One good one, it may be worth looking into a consolidation loan to combine your debt into one balance with a local bank or credit union. And doing this may save you the stress of making multiple payments. It may also save you money on interest. Anytime you look at moving money around or consolidating money, it's really worth taking the time to do your homework. Compare interest rates, see what you can do to really help cut down some of those fees. It's also worth contacting companies that you have a debt with to see if getting a loan or finding other means to pay them off will entice them to maybe give you a deal. Sometimes in the event of payoff, companies are willing to write off some of the interest or other fees if you're looking at getting it settled. So if you're doing a consolidation loan and you kind of have a spreadsheet of, hey, these are all the debts we need to consolidate, call up those companies and see if they'd be willing to write those down at all, knowing that they're going to get paid in full. So that's one great tip that I have. And I definitely support the idea of snowballing debt. Mm-hmm. It's a process of paying down debt basically based on the balance and also looking at fees associated with the debt. And you can find gobs of information on this if you just Google it. Again, that's snowballing debt. But Dave Ramsey has a great page that goes through this process in detail, and I've linked that in the show notes. I am a Dave Ramsey fan.
Me too.
But I will say his stuff can be a little overwhelming.
Yes, it can.
yeah, he goes through a lot of information, and I felt like, holy cow, he expects a lot from us. And so I would say use that resource, but don't get overwhelmed by that resource. But yes, he really has some great information and some great tools. There's some great calculators on there just for, you know, there's one calculator on there I really love that's like, oh, if I pay an extra $50 on my mortgage every month, it'll show you how much faster you can pay your mortgage off.
Yeah.
There's some really cool tools like that. So take advantage of those and check out his website. Like I said, we've got a link in the show notes. The next tip that I have is own your issues. And this is not going to be easy. But I think a huge part of setting goals is being aware of your pitfalls so that you can create a plan on how to avoid them. And money goals are no exception. So to do this, it's helpful to do two things. One, go through your bank records. And like Jessica said, we're not in the olden days where we have to like go through and balance our checkbooks anymore. To go through your bank records is so easy. You just get on your phone, flip through your app and take a look and kind of get a good standing of where your financial pitfalls are. So when I say financial pitfalls, I'm referring to things that are sending you off course financially. I would review your transactions for at least 90 days, if not a little bit longer. But it's basically going to look a little bit like this. Oh, Starbucks for $4, couple of transactions. Oh, Starbucks again for $6, couple of transactions. Oh, another Starbucks for $4. And before you know it, after reviewing your transactions, you realize you've spent over $300 on Starbucks without even realizing it. So that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to stop drinking Starbucks, but it's the awareness that I want to bring to mind. That awareness is powerful and it's helpful. So just as you're going through those transactions, take note of anything that's either a larger expense or a very repetitive expense, and then just kind of go over those and see what patterns you see and what it kind of brings to your attention. So I am going to, you know, just lay it all out there today. In my household, we have very different pitfalls. We have a gas station breakfast pitfall for the hubby, and we also have an Amazon pitfall for myself. So knowing that, we've been able to discuss those things and kind of put things in place to where we have some guidelines there so that we're not letting ourselves fall in those same pitfalls over and over and over. And so if you are seeing a pattern, whether you sit down and are accountable to yourself, or I personally like sitting down as a couple and being accountable to somebody else, just put some safeguards in place to help keep things in check. And then it might be good to put those things in check and just kind of evaluate again in 90 days and see how things are going, because you'll probably see a huge improvement. Okay. And again, I just want to reiterate, that doesn't mean I'm never going to shop at Amazon again. Safeguards don't mean getting rid of whatever it is. It might just mean that when you sit down with your spouse, you say, okay, I'm going to try to only go to Starbucks twice a week instead of six times a week. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of making some small adjustments here and there. Jessica, anything you want to add?
No, I think you did that perfectly. I'm sitting there thinking about all the pitfalls.
Oh, well, and then you have children and they basically are financial pitfalls. They are pitfalls, right?
So true. Oh,
like just all the stuff.
Yeah. Oh. Love your kids too much. Darn them.
So my third tip is consider catastrophe. So look back over the past couple years and consider what events have completely derailed your finances. So think about medical bills, having to buy a new appliance unexpectedly. Consider smaller things too. And what I mean here is I'm talking about, did you have to pay a $300 football registration fee for your son's peewee team and that completely derailed you? Or every year when you get to Christmas, are you in a panic? Like, how are we going to come up with the extra money that we need this month? So take a look at those big things and also those small fees that always just feel like they pop up out of nowhere and really derail your budget.
Yeah, I was going to say, along with Dave Ramsey, like, also the things that you know are going to be coming up. So like, say, you know, you have so many oil changes in a year, if you're automatically setting aside money for those oil changes or the fees for the peewees and things like that, like, then when it comes to it, it's not like, surprise! How,
exactly.
Like, an oil change? What? I didn't think about that. It's like, no, you knew that this was going to happen several times a year for your car. Set aside the money for that, prep for that type of thing.
Exactly. And one thing that always surprises me every single time, which
ooh, is, I don't, it car registration?
Anything car related. I don't handle anything car related. No, it's tires. It's tires.
Because
tires are so expensive. And Justin will be like, oh, we need to look at putting tires on your car next month. And I'm like, hey, wait, what? Didn't we just put car, like, tires on the
that.
Car
yeah.
two like 2 months ago? And he's like, 2 years ago? Like, it's just, I'm like, are you sure? Because it feels like we just did it. And so that's a great example, Jessica. It's those things that you're like, oh my gosh, are you serious? I wasn't anticipating doing this. So consider catastrophe. And we'll talk a little bit more about those as we, you know, dive into this episode. But I want you to just think about those things, because I want you to consider how you can improve them going forward, which brings me to my next point, save, save, save. This is something I feel so strongly about. I can't even, like, if somebody could bring me a little box to stand on,
passion.
Maybe one filled with soap,
or
that
passion.
Would be
my box of or passion.
Or a box filled with passion. That'd be great. So setting up a successful savings account was a goal that we had from the time we were first married. And it's something that I feel is just so important. And yet it's one of those things that can feel so hard to tackle. I remember we were not like newlyweds. Neither of us was making that much, but we wanted to build up a savings account. And so we'd be like, this is our emergency stash, you know, and we would start putting money into it. And then we would be like, we really want pizza tonight. It kind of feels like an emergency.
Oh my gosh.
Or our friends want to go see a movie. That's kind of an emergency. We were just the worst. And so we eventually, this is going to sound pathetic, but we eventually set up a separate bank account with no debit card, no ATM card, like really very limited access to those funds. And I kid you not, it has been our saving grace. So if building a savings account has been difficult for you, I highly recommend taking this approach. Because for a lot of people, those funds just burn a hole in your pocket, or it's easy to make excuses for why they should be accessible. So we took this savings account a step further once we had it set up. So when I asked you to consider what your catastrophes are, this is a great way to prepare for those. Just like Jessica said, you can start with a small amount, such as $20 per paycheck. You can have it transfer the day you get paid automatically into your savings account. And since you really don't ever see that money in your checking account, you don't really miss it, really.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just kind of give you a couple examples of that. So someone who gets paid biweekly and transfers just $20 per paycheck, which I feel like everybody could probably do without even noticing, will end up, you know, if they wanted to put that into a savings account for their child's sporting events or whatever it is, they will end up saving $520 by the end of the year.
Bow.
Right? I feel like that's super impressive without having to even think about it, without having to really miss the funds. I think it's impressive that it can add up that quickly. And then if you were to increase that amount to $50 per check, you would end up saving $1,300 for the year. And that's incredible to me that $50 a check and it's out of sight, out of mind, and you end up saving $1,300. Mm-hmm. That's just incredible. And that's money that you could use for Christmas, for emergencies, for anything. And just kind of as a follow-up to what Jessica was mentioning earlier, I personally really like to have specific titles. In our savings account, we do have it broken down into a bunch of those little savings accounts like Jessica mentioned. Once you get those savings accounts set up, the bank will let you title them whatever you want.
Yeah.
And so for me, I really like having the funds in separate things because it keeps track. And it also, I feel like, makes it more difficult to take it out of an account. Like if it says, hey, this is for like medical bills, and then I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to take money out of medical to pay for something else. You're almost saying like, okay, well, you're taking this from any medical bills that are going to come in the future. There's just an extra level of accountability that comes with that.
There goes and like the dentist visit.
Exactly. And like Jessica mentioned, we do have an auto account set up, and we try to anticipate any registration that's going to be coming up or any regular routine maintenance. But if you're saving for a new car, there's all sorts of things that you could break these different accounts up into. And I think it's just a great idea to have them all separate, have them titled, and then just have little amounts going into these funds automatically. And then as you check those, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised to see you've actually built a savings without even realizing it. So I really want to stress, though, the importance of building a savings. Even if you feel tight, having a savings account is so important. Even if it's $10 a paycheck, I highly encourage you to just start building up a savings account immediately. And to just kind of give you a couple examples of some of the ones that we have that we've used that we've really liked, we do have one for medical expenses. We have one for auto expenses, like Jessica mentioned, those routine things. We do have an account set up for Christmas. We have an account set up for vacation. And you can adjust these as needed, you know, if you're wanting to just do a local vacation, just transfer a little bit in there. And then next year, if you're wanting to really save up for Disneyland or something, you know, crank that up and start putting more in there. So it's such a neat thing. And the thing I like about it is that if you start with a smaller amount and just get in the routine of getting funds in savings, it's easier to slowly build that up and to adjust to putting more in there. And I think you feel empowered as you start to get accounts and see that you're building a savings. So If you don't have one, I encourage you to just start somewhere. Anything you want to share?
One of Sam's goals is to have a specific amount of money before our kids decide to like go to college or move out. And so like once the kids are born, we set up their own separate accounts or whatever, and then we have automatic just going into their own accounts. We've also talked about just having it automatically go into like different CDs or things like that that can get a bit of a higher interest rate. Think like, because it's money that you're not even going to see or touch or whatever. But I guess sitting down and really focusing on like what you want your money to go towards, because if you don't have it going towards something that you want, you're automatically going to find something for it to go to, whether it's like, you know, like you said, the movies or pizza or something like that. You know, suddenly that'll take over rather than focusing on the things that you really want your money to go towards, even retirement and investments and things like that. If you don't set aside that and make it a specific goal, then, you know, you won't have any money for it in the long run.
It's true. And I think to touch on a lot of the points you brought up, I think that's great. I love the idea of setting up an account for your kiddos. And like you mentioned, with maybe looking into some of those possibilities for CDs and some of those other things. Yeah, I mean, if you could be gaining double to triple the amount of interest on it, and you know you're not going to need those funds for years. A lot of the stuff that's worth doing takes a little bit of homework to do, but it really pays off. And so I think that's a great idea, though. I mean, I would have loved if my parents like had some funds aside for me to go do those things.
So bad.
So I would appreciate that. So I bet your kids are going to love that.
We hope so.
And if they don't appreciate it, you send them my way and I will make them appreciate it. So yeah, I really think that those were some good comments and good things to add. And I will also add, I don't think it's ever too early to start planning for retirement.
Never.
Yeah. And if your employer does any sort of match, definitely take advantage of that.
It's 100%.
It's a little bit interesting. Over the past few years, I've gotten a lot more of the younger generation that I'm working with. And it's just kind of interesting because when I say like, hey, you're eligible for, you know, retirement match now, a lot of them are just kind of like, meh, like don't even want to take the time to fill that out or take advantage of it.
Hurt my heart.
And even if you're young, it's becoming more and more rare for employers to contribute to those things. So if you are in a situation, and even if you're not, it's still important that you contribute and try to prepare for your future. So, and I also liked that Jessica brought up the importance of short-term goals and long-term goals. And I think that's one of the things I like about having different accounts is that some of those can be more long-term, some of those can be short-term goals. So, and again, as you see some of those successes and experience some of kind of the accomplishment of saving, I think you'll kind of feel some of that joy and be more motivated to continue in those efforts. So thank you, Jessica.
You're welcome.
Good things. And I just want to lastly point out that it's important that you revisit your goals, that you set financial goals, you know, sit down and determine what savings accounts are important, sit down and determine what pitfalls you want to avoid and set those as goals. And then don't just set those as goals, revisit those goals. And if you've set goals as a couple, try to meet monthly to refocus on what your goals are and track your progress. And don't be afraid to involve your kids. This is a really important thing for me. And Jessica, I don't know if you were this way. I kind of just like assumed that the mom always managed the money just because my mom always managed the money. And
same.
I feel like you kind of go into marriage thinking like, oh, well, that's how it was in my family. I just thought that's how it worked in every family.
Yeah.
And I think we can all kind of admit that a lot of what we learned financially, a lot of what we bring into a family and a relationship and a marriage and all of that, a lot of the skills, a lot of the pitfalls, and a lot of the things that we bring in to our family are within the way that we're raised. And so let's not be afraid to involve our kids. You know, if you're saving for a vacation, if you're saving for a home, if you're saving for a new car, let your kids be part of the process. And I'm not saying you like go over amounts or anything with them, but let them be a part of the, hey, we hit this benchmark, we're this much closer, or discuss those types of things. Help them set goals. Help them start to save towards things. And I just want to stress that because much of what we learn about money comes from how we're raised. So it's important that we start with our kids while they're young. We help them to learn the importance of good money habits, and we help them to get excited about saving and excited about how to utilize the different tools that are out there. And I do think it's a little bit of a dying art just to even know how to pay bills and create a savings. There's a lot of young people that just don't even know how to budget, and they're trying to figure that out on their own. So I think it's really important that we go over those things with our kids.
Yeah.
Do you think so, Jessica?
Absolutely. I know a lot of people are like, ugh, adulting is hard. And it totally is. I completely agree with that. And so, like, maybe us as adults can, you know, help teach our kids. And so when they reach that age of adulting, you know, it might be difficult, but it's manageable. You know, maybe my kids will be more willing to leave the house if I've shown them how to handle their own house versus like, if I never leave, I'll never have to adult and never have to do anything. You're like, no.
I think that was enough of a motivation to like light the fire under anyone, Jessica. Yeah. If you don't want your kids living with you till they're 40, teach them financials.
Yes.
Yeah, but it really is. I think, you know, even with my son, we talk about like saving money, and he'll just like save up his little change, and then we go and deposit it at his account, and he gets so excited about that. And you know, if he sees something that he wants, we talk about like earning the money for it and saving the money for it. And I think obviously those conversations develop and, you know, become more in depth the older the child gets. But I think it's really important that we're teaching our kids money management skills. We're talking to them about the value of money and the value of work ethic and all of those things. And I really think it's important to drill in the importance of saving.
Absolutely.
And earning. So I think it's never too young to start with that. I mean, truly. I mean, Jessica starts the day her kids are born. She has a savings account.
Yes,
so
the second.
Never too early.
Well, it's not even about money. You know, like I have a ticketing system for like, if you do a chore, you get a ticket. If you have enough tickets, then you get a toy from the bin or whatever. And so like, even that, like you have to save the amount of tickets if you want this specific toy, like even if it's not money, because I know that, you know, everybody's financial situation is very different. If you started off with something else, it's going to transition into money as they get older so much more seamlessly.
Exactly. And I love that. It's the concept of teaching financials. And I like that you gave that example because, yeah, we both have our kids on a raffle ticket system and those are pretty cheap. But the kids feel like they're worth a lot.
Yeah.
And it does teach them. It is kind of interesting because, you know, you're like, okay, you've got five. You can buy this now or you can save 10 to get this.
Yes.
And it's interesting to really see how they develop and change and learn to save and the importance of saving and kind of how they learn to value those little tickets that they get. So I do. I think it's such an important thing to teach from a young age. And just keep in mind, the skills that they're going to enter adulthood with are most likely coming from us. And that sounds like a big responsibility. But if we start when they're young, it'll just get easier. But I really do encourage you, sit down and set goals as a couple. Sit down and set goals as a family. And then do what you can to really work on achieving those goals, building a savings, and really getting your finances into a fit shape. And I'm really excited for everyone that has this as a goal for this year. I think it's a great goal to just get your finances in control, get your finances working for you. And I would love to hear any successes if you have other ideas of what's worked for you, ideas on, you know, helping your kids to learn the financial side of things. We would love to hear about those. So feel free to send those our way. We'd love to share them on the podcast, read about them, hear about your challenges or successes. And if there's any other goals that you've set for this year that you would just love a shout out on, or you would love us to look into, send them our way. We would love to tackle them with you. So thanks for joining us today.
We want to be a part of your adventure too. So submit your topics, questions, or silly stories to us at motherhoodadventurepod@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes.
Become part of our mom tribe by following us on Facebook and Instagram so you don't miss a mess-filled mom moment. Thanks for joining us through our journey of tantrums, triumphs, and teamwork.
Till next time.